Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda.
Be subscribed to our YouTube channel. Chemda, be honest. Mm-hmm. And if it's not good, say, how good is the YouTube channel?
It's so good that after we record it, when the bell rings and it says Keith and the Girl has a new video,
yeah.
I'm like, don't watch it. You were already there. And I'm like, I'll just take a peek. Yeah. And then I end up watching it for like however long it is. I'm just one more minute. This is so funny. It's so good.
It's fun. At 13 years, we still like what we do. And that's good. So,
and if we like it, you should like it.
Right. Go to YouTube. Look at the channel, Keith and the Girl. Hit subscribe. Hit that bell. It lets you know anytime there's new stuff. And there's a lot going on. Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, today's guest has appeared on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, Jimmy Fallon, David Letterman, Craig Kilborn, Last Comic Standing, Comedy Central Presents. Wrote and directed the film Women Aren't Funny. Co-host the podcast My Wife Hates Me. One of my favorite guests without exaggeration. Well, I'll introduce you in a minute, but first, ladies and gentlemen, Bonnie McFarlane.
Oh, thank you.
It's the truth, Bonnie. In fact, I was talking to somebody.
Don't tell her things. She's so uncomfortable with nice shit.
Right.
Just like
throw. I know. I'm going to have to like blow it up in a minute.
Yeah.
I'll say something mean to you.
Well, for now, somebody asked me the other day about who are some of my favorite guests, and I wasn't even being funny when I said I am mostly excited about, over 13 years, Bonnie McFarlane and Cece DeVille. And to me, I think I've made it. And this is exciting.
It's always exciting for me to come. I mean, what a delightful road trip to get here. I came last week.
Well, whose fault was that?
I just did a turnaround. Well, I did text you at one point and say,
I know.
Are we still on for tomorrow?
I just wanted it to be your fault.
I know. Well, it was.
But it was Bonnie's fault in the end, right?
I could have been.
She was going
more
by date. I was going by tomorrow.
You were going by, you know, a feeling.
I mean? Yeah, I was like, I'm pretty sure it's tomorrow.
Right.
So then I said, are we still on for tomorrow? And she was like, yeah, but she was going by.
Well, maybe just sure. Like, I don't know, we'll text, we'll call on the phone. Yeah, tomorrow things will happen.
Of course.
But Chemda, like you say, she goes by dates.
She goes by dates.
That's interesting when people do that.
I know.
What's it like being a comic? Like, who gives a shit? You'll show up when you show up. You know you're a talent. Fuck them.
I honestly, it's weird to me when you do shows and then you complain about stuff as a comedian and people are shocked by that. I'm like, that's why we got into this.
Right.
So that we could like yell about everything that's not, like my favorite thing in the world is watching the comedian on before me and just hating on him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just being like if he's getting laughs, I think the audience, they'll laugh at anything. This is bullshit.
If you could throw your voice, do you think you'd heckle?
I will say this. I do get the troll mentality a little bit, because when I'm like on Twitter, it's hard for me not to.
Do you write and then delete a lot? Like,
I go, why am I? Because I think people won't take it as a joke. It's always like this fine line of, and am I joking? I don't even know a lot of times. You know what I mean? It's
just, does social media? You have to play the game being a comic, but does it bum you out? Does the negativity get to you? Or do you know, hey, I've been in this game a while before all this stuff. Who gives a shit?
Well, let me tell you something. I came late to the game on every single bit of social media.
Right.
And when I got to Twitter, I was like, well, first of all, Facebook, I just never thought I'd like anything else because I didn't like Facebook. I didn't understand how it worked. I didn't understand why I'm reading stuff from people I don't know who they are because they're following me, I guess. Right?
Yeah, because you're
or it's not
friends.
A follow, it's a friends thing, which yes.
I like that
just that concept I don't buy into.
You still don't get it. Like, how are we friends again?
What is
why am
what
I?
What is a friend exactly?
Why do I know you just gave birth?
Yeah. And the ranting and stuff. It was like embarrassing that people are putting these things. But then Twitter, people said, you're going to like Twitter. You got to. Have you ever had anybody explain a social media that you weren't on to you? It's the weird. You're like, what the fuck?
Right. They give me a look like I don't understand how they're different.
Right.
And I'm like, Instagram. So it's the same. Like, no.
No.
Like, I bet it's close to the same. But apparently it's not. And I get laughed at.
Right.
Yeah, I get you. No, I don't. I hate when a new one comes out. Me and Chemda, we're like, not a new thing.
Not a new thing.
But I hate thinking like that because we end up kicking and screaming and then we get on the platform. Because it's just the other medium dies and we have to go with the flow.
You have to do it.
Yeah.
You got to check it out at least.
Yeah.
So I like Twitter. I do like Twitter. And then I got on Instagram just very recently, and I was like, what a wonderful, wonderful place. I just couldn't believe. I was walking through like just this great garden of people's wondrous lives, and then I fell into a deep depression that I've not been able to get out of because Instagram is, it just sucks you. It's just the worst thing in the world. It's so FOMO, right? That's all it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's your goal is to post things to make other people jealous.
You know they all have depression, right?
Is that what, I just was like, well, because from Twitter, it's like all hard edges and you're like, then you get to, right. You think, wow, like you're going through the gates of Disneyland. Flowers and food and babies. And then you're just like, maybe.
There needs to be a social media platform where you see the description and pictures of people working on the other social media, them trying to set up a camera when they're at the beach.
Right.
You know, them getting stung by a stingray.
On Instagram, there's this girl I follow. I just go, who's taking the pictures? I need to know who's with you all the time. It's not a selfie. It's like, I'm sitting on a horse. I'm sitting on a fence. I'm doing, it's like, are you just asking people to take pictures of you all day long?
Just trusting people with your phone.
Right. Or is your dad someone that you just don't want the world to know about? You know what I mean? It's like,
I know somebody that does it. She happens to be beautiful and
she happens to be beautiful. Right. All the people who take pictures of themselves and post constantly happen to feel okay with themselves.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. I wouldn't have thought that. It's fascinating. No, but the people who have to ask other people to take their picture, right. They have to be beautiful. They can't. An ugly guy is not going to, people get away from me. Oh.
Right. What joke site is this? Okay.
Yeah.
I'll take one. But yeah, they have timers and everything. They set up tripods.
And so I should stop asking her who's taking the pictures. She's like, god damn it,
it's Bonnie's
get
only,
into the fucking
it's your only comment on people's Instagram. Who took this?
Who is, no, but it is, it's like you're just looking either for, you're the loneliest person in the world, like it's even sadder, you know. I think the saddest things are mirror selfies. I sometimes want to write to people, are you okay? When I see a mirror selfie, it's so sad. It's like, there was nothing else you could do at home. Like,
sometimes you get shocked by your own reflection. You're like, oh shit, I look good. Hurry up, get the camera. And then you try to get that same angle. And then 100 pictures later, Bonnie goes, who took that?
Who took it? I'd like to know.
Will you ever do something like that for an ego boost? Right? Am I talented, Sen?
Oh, and my daughter put on my Insta story. By the way, this is a funny story. So I said something to Rich about his Insta story, and he goes, Insta what? He's on Instagram all the time. He didn't know about Insta stories.
You married that guy.
He's
it's
wonderful.
So weird.
Listen to this, by the way. We'll go back to that.
Okay.
Your book, You're Better Than Me.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
I think everyone's read it already.
And you think what?
I think everyone's read it already.
No, they have, but I do want to remind them.
Do you want to buy it again?
I want to remind them of the quote that where you say about your husband, Rich Voss.
Oh.
I never met him. In my opinion, he was a fucking asshole. Everyone who's ever encountered Voss has a story about how much they hated him when they first met him. He turns people off immediately, but later can somehow carve out a relationship with people based on deep affection while still maintaining his complete and utter dickishness.
Yeah.
Now, I remember...
So hot. That's so sexy.
I remember...
I see people. That's my skill.
Right. Now, when he tells you, yeah, I looked over your book and you're doing great. Are you like, you liar? He didn't read this fucking book.
He didn't read it.
Brought up this page.
He would do this to me. He'd be like, page 47, you know, or whatever. Like, never, it was never like, hey, you lived in a garage? Like, it was never...
I can't believe you had to kill your best friend, the cow. Yeah, it's never specific.
No,
right?
No, he's just going through it,
his own mind,
sounding
markers.
It out word for word, and then get it, another page done. Next.
How many kids do you guys have together?
We have one together.
Okay.
And then he has two older daughters.
Who are adults now, right?
They're adults. They're one of the younger one of the two adults are getting married. So
wow.
Yeah.
Do you have to go to that?
I went to her wedding dress try-on thing.
So you're good?
I feel like I've done my part.
That's the harder one.
Do you go, ooh, are you good at like the whole, maybe another bonnet or whatever?
No, her mother's been married 3 times, so I keep making the joke. Like, why don't you just borrow one of your mom's dresses?
Never gets old.
You bring comic relief.
Right. To a wedding dress.
Her mom doesn't enjoy it. But I...
Are you two friends? The moms?
I don't know if we're friends. We don't talk on the phone or anything, but I respect her. I like her. I think she's funny. She likes me, at least in small doses. So
we
get along very well.
How do you meet at first? Like, hey, I'm dating your ex. Hi. How do you
She was already married and had a kid, and we met in a fast food restaurant, I think. And then Rich was being super weird, like too loud and, you know, trying to make jokes. One of the first things she said to me was like, I wish I'd met you before. You seem nice. I wish I could have told you some of the things where you got this far in. You know. Well, good luck. She was all like that.
Right. Anytime you have problems, she's like, well, I tried to tell you in that I left him.
Yeah. Yes.
We didn't work out. So.
Yes.
All right, somehow you're the right fit.
That's how I feel about all my exes. I meet their new partners and I'm like, sure, you can do it. I didn't. Okay. Yeah. I'm sure you can find the magical bean in this fucking guy.
He's so friendly. Yeah. Okay, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was into it too, buddy. Good job.
Right.
I hope you like obsessive and controlling behavior. Okay.
Right. Yeah, he's very funny. Yeah, sure.
This is sad, of course, but the publisher of your book was Anthony Bourdain.
Yeah.
And your book couldn't save him.
I can't.
I can't either.
I was going to make a joke, but it's like he
would have wanted it that way.
Would he? I don't know. He's a chef. I don't know if he plays by our rules. No, it was, you know what? I can't make jokes about it, but if I had to put a list together of all the people I've ever met, that he would be dead last.
Where you would think had these thoughts.
Yes.
Oh, wow.
He just seemed so
full of life.
No. But just pragmatic, like if he had dark thoughts, I would think that he would be the kind of person who would go get it checked out, go do something about it without any shame or anything. It would just be like, well, this happens to people, you know.
You think I don't know how you would know, but you think it maybe snuck up on him or something? Or did you suspect like foul play or something when you first heard?
Yes. I had all these theories.
Yeah. Mario
I kept
Batali.
Saying, mark my words, things are gonna go. Yes. Mario Batali. No, it's Fieri, what's his name?
Oh yeah. He's pretty mad at things, right? Yeah.
I kept saying something's gonna come out, you'll see. But I guess it's, you know, everything I read is like, it's true.
Looks like it's a fact.
Looks like it's
Do you have to worry about that? Because you do talk about your depression. You certainly did in this book. Is this like a wake-up thing? Or like, hey, let me look at something that I'm not looking at.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I deal with it all the time, I think. But that's the thing, people always like, you know, they would go back and say, he had dark thoughts, or, you know, he said this before. I think everyone, if they're like intelligent and creative, they're analyzing their life and this fucking country and the world right now. It's like, yes, you should be a little depressed by what's going on. So I don't think it's like, I don't know. It's hard to.
You think there will be a time when we look at the people that aren't depressed as insane?
Yes.
Like, pick up a newspaper.
Yes. It's like, I mean, aren't we all a little bit just hanging on here? I don't know.
But when you were talking about the growing up poor, I was, and there's something, and I like, just, you know, misery loves company, I guess, but I loved reading. I like reading about other people's.
Yes.
You know, when I didn't have to kill my own chickens when I was a kid. But then again, we were like farmers without a farm. We didn't even have a farm.
Right. You know? We ate well. We ate like kings.
That sounds pretty nice.
Yeah.
But you know what? I alluded to the cow for your 10th birthday. Your gift is a cow?
Yeah.
And that's a family tradition.
Family tradition. You get the cow, but you could immediately sell the cow. Could just be like a stock, you know. You could immediately sell the cow back to my father for whatever the going, you know, the blue book value of the cow at the time was.
It was only tipped once and
yeah. But I picked my cow. I don't, because I am a contrarian.
Right.
And I was like, I'm getting it. And
you got the fattest cow.
I've got the fattest cow. It turned out to be a pregnant cow.
So the cow's giving.
I mean, I was like, nice, rolling.
And that
in
means the cow's giving tons of milk, right?
Yeah, I had milk for, you know, 2 years. Another calf came.
And you would sell the ice cream. You would make ice cream and sell it.
Milk, cream, ice cream. I had quite a booming little business
there.
Look
at this.
And yeah. I made a lot of money.
Yeah, we didn't even get to have the animals on our farm. Did you get new shoes?
I had jars that would just stuff money in it.
Did you get new shoes when you were a kid?
Well, I was youngest, so.
Okay.
Not hand-me-downs.
Very rarely.
We had the cheapest boots during the winter, and we'd have to wear plastic bread bags.
Yes, we did too. Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. That's crazy.
My mom said she was so poor growing up that when she, if she outgrew her shoes before it was time to get a new one or before they could get a new one, they would cut the end of it and let her toes.
Oh, go through. Yeah, yes, my dad told stories about that too. We didn't quite go there, but yeah.
She
but
also,
you know what's weird? It's when you're with other poor people, it's not a big deal. Like I'm sure all your friends had plastic bags sticking out of their boots. It's like that's why you live with your
honestly it was never a style.
Oh.
It really
I
wasn't.
Mean I remember not being embarrassed about it because everyone had some form
oh
of-
I was embarrassed. For lunch my mom put milk in, you know, the little Huggies, the quarter
yeah.
water.
Yeah.
You had the bigger ones. And my mom would put milk in that, freeze it the night before. We had to take that to school. By the time lunch came, it defrosted yeah. in your locker. And you had to come home with that to make sure that you didn't
wait,
throw
what's,
it out.
What's bad with that?
It's just embarrassing. You're bringing frozen milk and drinking milk from a little container, which I'm humiliated by, so I never did it. And then sometimes at the end of school, I dump out the milk. It's coming out clumpy and moldy.
Oh, wow.
I mean, yeah. It would be kind of, it's a weird thing to say.
Yeah.
Like, how about even water?
What did we save on?
Okay, I guess you're not going to send water those days. I don't know.
Would you guys actually drink a cup of milk?
Yeah.
Like, here's your cup of milk, and you just drink it.
Yeah. We drank milk all the time. But
hot summer's day also.
What?
Yeah.
Milk.
Yeah.
I know. It seems weird now. I would never just, like if you just saw someone in a restaurant drinking a full glass of milk, you'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, killer.
Like, what country are you from?
Well,
we don't do that here.
Well, I used to see it on commercials. I would see like a tall glass of orange juice, a tall glass of milk as part of your nutritious
yes.
breakfast with the bowl of cereal. And I'm like, who's having a bowl of cereal with milk, a cup of
yeah,
orange
yes.
juice? So I thought you were all just joking because I came from a Middle Eastern. I would have like a little milk in my tea. I thought that was weird. I didn't share that with anyone because I thought it would make me a freak.
Why, you just never drank milk?
Cups of milk? No, didn't. Well, probably because it was harder for us to have dairy because we had to separate dairy and meat.
Oh.
So my parents usually chose meat. So you can't really.
Well, if you're going to choose between one of the two, I side with your family on this one.
How are the names so phlegmy? But you're not having dairy anyway.
Well, that's why we can say cha, because we're not clearing anything.
Right. We got to spit a couple times over here in America. But you won on me easily. For how long do you not have running water?
Until I'm probably second grade, I guess. You know, we didn't. But even when we got running water, it was a very tricky little, because it was a well that would go dry. So you could just. You could never use too much water. You could never, like if you heard water running, like even to this day, like if I hear water running, I get like anxiety.
Wow.
The well's gonna go dry.
Do you ever, if the kids are gone, it's just you in the house, you ever pour yourself a glass of wine and just turn on the faucet and laugh?
No.
And just talk to yourself, Leno, Letterman.
Do you still have a poor mentality? Because my mother did. She stayed in that state. They also had to, they didn't, I don't know if they must not have had too much running water. I don't know. They didn't have it in the bath. They would have to warm up a pot of hot water that she would share with her sister. So she gets half a pot and the sister gets the other half. And my mom always is like very holding on to her wallet. Like she wouldn't, I'd be like, just give the waiter one more dollar. Like that's going to make a huge difference in their life.
Yeah.
And she'd have to be convinced of it. You know, it was very, always frugal, always tight.
I don't have that. No, I don't.
Yeah, you
my husband has it. Not because he's Jewish. He just also has. He's also Jewish, and he also has.
Neither here nor there.
They're not connected in any way. So I just, he has two separate characteristics.
Did he grow up poor?
Yeah, he grew up really poor too. Okay. But I think the poor thing for me was that, like, we didn't use money. There was no, you know what I mean? Like, we ate food from our farm. Right. I don't remember having money, like buying stuff from a store. Like,
what is it that my parents, anyway, my dad specifically, does not understand that time went by?
Mm.
He goes to restaurants, leaves change as the tip.
Oh.
How? And he's been told that it's wrong, doesn't believe it. He hears we're given 20%. We're out to lunch. Yes, we're pieces of shit.
Yes. I think also because your dad has not been in the workforce for a long time. So he doesn't even know what a salary is right now. Like he just does his, you know, pretend freelance shit.
Right.
You know?
Selling insurance. But he does it. He's not really.
He doesn't know. And also,
But selling insurance doesn't.
Somerset.
When he sells insurance, doesn't that mean you're seeing what other people are making?
Does he sell insurance?
No.
Or does he have a fun hobby sometimes calling people and saying hello?
He has a business card.
Does he sell life insurance?
He sells life insurance.
My friends used to sell life insurance and she would just always tell you ways you could die. It was just a constant thing where you'd be like, let's not invite her to the party.
My dad would try to sell life insurance with us in public at a movie theater.
Oh my God.
At a restaurant.
Is he good at the...
No. No, because it's always awkward times. The movie's over. Hey, that was a good movie, right, stranger? And the stranger's like, yes, it was. Have you thought about if you died like he did in the movie?
That's what she does. She's like, you'd be played in a like above ground pool or something. And she'd be like, oh, I just read about these two.
Right.
Like he's been trying to sell us insurance ever since maybe that's just me. I don't know.
No, he's been trying to sell us insurance. Yeah.
Like every time we see him, it's just like, have you considered life insurance? I'm like, yeah, because I'm going to kill your son.
Yeah, that's what I need. I need my dad knowing any kind of financial statement I have at all.
Well, he keeps asking you how you make your money every single visit.
Right.
So podcasting, does that make money? No, Dad. No, I'm just robbing and stealing.
I was talking to him not too long ago, and he said, how's podcasting going? And I go, it's going going well, thank you. Okay, son, so Mary, if you want to move back home.
Okay, so I have a little bit of this with my family, too, where they don't want to talk about it. Like, it's because he doesn't want to be ignorant, and he doesn't want to learn it.
Yeah, correct.
Okay, that's what
Every time I see him, it's exciting for me because I get to impress him.
Mm-hmm.
But it should be offensive to me that I have to tell him every single year that I see him what I do.
Right.
Yeah. But for those 5 minutes, he's very impressed that I have my own business.
Right.
Then the next day, New York's expensive. Do you want to come back and live here?
Right.
And it's like, we never got along. You're that lonely.
Yes.
We never got along. Why would you want me here?
My mom used to ask me to come live and just come back. I'll do your laundry. I'll feed you. I'll do all this shit. And I'm like, don't you think it's weird that that's not enticing me? I don't want to do my laundry.
Yeah.
I don't want to make my own food. But don't you think it's a little weird that I'm like, no. Meanwhile, my father's like, you know, just right there going, ugh, can you not ask her to move in? Like, he's just hating on me.
Right.
And I'm just like, this feels good, you guys. I'm moving in tomorrow.
My dad makes up a whole story. For example, son, would you like to come back and move here? I'm like, I'm really an adult. So no.
Yes.
And
wouldn't you feel bad if I moved back in? Like, what did you do with your life? Ew. Right.
And I didn't say anything. I know with my parents, I won't even give a little of a heartache about life.
Right.
Because that's exaggerated. So there's no seed he can even take something from.
Right.
I couldn't even tell him about divorce and a little sadness because, you know, that would mean I'm throwing myself off a cliff.
No, my mom freaks out if I tell her anything negative. Once I told her I was having trouble. I was like, you know what? It's a little bit difficult. I'm trying to sell my place and, you know, it's been kind of rough. The co-op is being an asshole. She hurried to get off the phone. She calls me back like a minute later. She goes, I won't be able to sleep at night. You gotta make this better. You gotta tell me that things are okay. And I'm like, you know what, Mom? That's just life. I convinced her. I had to sit there and convince her. I was in Trader Joe's. I remember this. I was food shopping. I was like, you know, life is good. I'm food shopping now. That's just the heartache of the, like.
That's a sign.
Yeah.
A,
right. You know, it'll be better tomorrow, next week. You know what? It's better now. And she's like, thank you. And that was it. I'm like, well, lesson learned. Thank you.
Yeah. I remember there's just a phase where I was eating, and not because of money. I just found myself, I was eating one meal a day, late in the afternoon, huge amount of food. Well, of course, all my dad extrapolated was I could only afford to eat one meal a day.
Why were you doing it?
I was just lazy. I hate eating. I'm lazy about it.
Oh, that's I can get behind that.
Yeah, it's so annoying.
I remember doing that. Yeah,
like here we go again.
No, it never ends.
It honestly never ends. And when you get food, it's a whole plate of it.
Yeah,
you know. What's that tapas? The idea when it's real small amounts and it's not a trick.
Yeah,
that I'm on board for. Even, you know, I'm gonna sound like an asshole, but even steak, I'm like 3 bites in. I'm like, I get it. Now
right,
I have to eat all of this.
Right, right.
I'm fine. That's it. Now I'm all for a pill that expands in your body.
I think I could get like, because I think about food as fuel a lot of times too.
Yeah, I'd be like, okay, that's good. I like sampling.
Right. Are you vegan now? Is that what
I eat eggs because I'm also pro-choice.
So my dad says to me, you know, why don't you come move back? And I'm like, I'm an adult and I have this business and that's going all right.
So would it be just you and your dad?
My mom would be there too, but that would be it. It'd be the three of us, a happy home.
I mean.
Right. Right. And so he says, son, now.
Even ABC would be like, this is too far-fetched.
Right. Right. I go, and he says, now, son, there would be a couple rules you would have to follow.
Yeah.
And I go, yeah, I'm not going to do it, though, but thank you. And he goes,
son. What are the rules? You didn't find out what the rules are?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, okay.
No, he'll tell me.
Oh, okay.
And then he says, son, I don't see why you wouldn't just follow a couple simple rules. Like, what just happened? Like, you just made it, so I'm begging you to move in.
Yes.
This somehow just happened.
Yes.
And he goes, the rules would be simple. Don't do anything I say that's morally wrong, but I will not tell you to do anything that is morally wrong. Help out around the house. Well, you wouldn't want to do that, I don't know. I'm like, am I being lectured? What's this? Well, I'll check my schedule. Thank you. Okay. And then he shakes his head, no, and I'm just bullshitting. He's like, you'll check your schedule.
Yeah.
Okay. And then we go through it again.
Do you think about it? Do you like ever go through a scenario where you're like, okay, I wake up in my room.
I work at the one restaurant.
Oh, and, yeah. What would you even do there?
And I feel like I own the town again.
Sure. Yeah.
You got to play this all the way to the end.
Right. No, I remember last time I visited, I took a nap. I get up, I walk into the living room, and I see my mom and dad saying the rosary. And I'm like, And I'm an atheist, and I walk in and I go, oh, okay. And I start turning around and they go, Keith, son. And I pretend I don't hear him.
Yeah.
And then they do it again. I'm like, yeah, be there 1 second. And then I come back.
Jesus is calling. Yeah. Hold on.
Do you want to say the rosary with us? And, you know, it's not a question. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
So did you do it?
Yeah. Should we start?
So yeah. Sold out your own religion.
Yeah. I won't go to a church with them. But I don't know how to say, no, I'm not saying the rosary.
Were you saying?
I know how. You take it and you fucking rub it between your legs and you go, there's your fucking rosary.
Yeah, I don't know how to do that.
Use it like anal beads.
You shove it in your ass and pull it out.
Like you, just as you come.
Like you even mimed it, and I still don't know how I would do that.
There's got to be people shoving rosary beads up their ass, right? That should be our poll.
Sure, but in front of your parents?
I'm an atheist, and you'll respect that. God damn it.
No, I'll mumble. Hey, I'm Mary full of grace.
No, I understand. I'm an atheist. People who believe in God, they can't.
They can't get it.
They're like,
they're scared.
They think you can't get it. Like, yeah. They're just so, like, why wouldn't you come in and do the rosary? Right. Like,
well, I'll tell you why, Dad, because you're so dramatic. You feel like he was a priest and he feels like he's still on stage. And when he says, Hail Mary, he thinks he's talking to Mary.
But he also failed you. You know that, right?
I do. Well,
do you see? He's got to live with that. I couldn't get my fucking own son to believe.
Yeah, I do. Oh, I do know that. And
he's supposed to be a conduit.
Yeah.
Oh, and what a shitty conduit your dad is.
I do. He does believe that because he knows. Yeah, my one job is to get these 5 kids of mine into it.
Yes, and how many got into it?
None.
Oh, dude.
That's not a good record,
oh,
right?
Oh, you go there and you hug him. Do you understand? Jeez, it's not your fault, Dad.
Well, Keith has it a little bit easier because he just ends up blaming the Jew that he's across from all the time. He's just like, you know how is.
Oh my God.
It's weird, yeah.
He's got to work out a lot of issues from this scenario.
Are your parents religious? Are they around, first of all?
Both my parents are alive, okay. And they're not religious. I mean, there was a little bit of dabbling. You know, the joke is that it was a mixed religious household. You know, my dad is atheist, my mom's agnostic. So it was just constant fighting. There is no God. There might be. There might be.
Do you still remember the rosary? Can you do it?
Well, I know what it is. Yeah, you have your big prayer. I think that's the Constitution. Then you have Glory Be's. Then you have some Our Fathers every so often. And then you have 10 Hail Marys 5 times. So I know those prayers. Yeah.
Oh, the rosary isn't one thing?
It's different prayers. It's a lump of prayers.
Do you have to move your fingers like it's a guitar on there?
You don't have to, but that does keep your place because you're saying
it that many times.
You're saying it that many times.
Oh, how
many?
You to count.
Yeah.
That's what it's for.
How many are there?
A total of 50 prayers about.
Oh, how long does that take?
When my dad does it,
it's he a does the whole thing.
Hail Mary, full of grace.
Oh,
the
my
Lord
God.
Is with thee. Blessed. And I'm like, that. There's 49 of these to go,
Does
Dad.
He know it's holiest if he says it in his head? You tell him that.
Let's all say it together. I'm done.
Is that what the priest makes you say when he says, say a bunch of these things?
Yes.
Say 10 Hail Marys. I masturbate in front of some female comics. Do 10 Hail Marys. Do 10 Hail Marys and get back on stage.
I'm like, why would you have me thinking about more women? But all right. Yeah, my dad was the guy in church when it's, let's say you're singing a song and everybody ends on, for God. He goes, for
God.
God.
But how is he going to get God to notice him? if he's just with everyone else.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, after the songs, he all but bows.
Do you sometimes mess with him? You go, Dad, I always forget that you have such a nice singing voice. You should do that.
Yeah, I really should. It'd still be worth a conversation.
And then he sells life insurance. This guy is so complicated.
He was a magician.
He wants to save lives and then profit off them.
Well, he knows it's going to happen anyway. You know.
He was not a magician.
Yes.
He was an illusionist. Don't bring the devil into this.
Hey, what do we think, by the way, about political correctness? You're a fuck. You're not going to put up with that bullshit.
I think it's terrific. I love it. I don't know who your audience is, but I'm down. I will say whatever words you need me to say or not say. I don't like people who nag. I don't like neggers. And that's another thing we'll get into.
Good loophole there. Very good.
I just thought of that joke on the train.
With the and do you know it's actually funnier in your own head? So keep it there.
Yes, yes. Most things are.
Hashtag worth it.
With Me Too and all this, do you see a change with male comedians on the road as they pretend that they're really scared of what's going on with men and women and what can and we can't do? But with that bullshit that they're saying, is there actually a difference because they aren't saying, hey, turn around for fun.
Yeah, no, I think, I mean, people are...
When was the last time somebody jerked off in front of you for fun?
Well, it's been quite a while, I'll be honest with you. It's weird because you get told this story for so long in your life, and then, you know, sort of like the blinds come up, and you just go, oh, I don't know how to explain it other than, like, we were all laughing about Louis C.K. like it was a punchline.
That he did this kind of thing
and we knew about it. And then at some point it flipped over to this is horrific and, you know, it's...
Like, why are we taking it?
Why are we? Like, to me, it wouldn't be traumatic if it happened to me. I'll be honest with you. I mean, the amount of jokes that used to go on that involved somebody's dick was, you know, like, this guy used to just always put his dick on his watch and then go, can you read the time? And then you look down, why you?
Right.
And you thought it was funny. And then at some point, So I still think those things are funny because they're meant as jokes. But the other part of it is, like, I think as women, we should be able to go to work without somebody masturbating in front of us. Like that.
Bonnie, come on.
Is that like how? But it's weird that the switch got flipped. Is that the right saying?
Yeah.
Because I used to be like, oh, come on, man. Can't you take it? You know what I mean? Yeah. But it's like, why should we have to take it?
Yeah, I know. I had to kind of undo a lot of stuff in my own head. Like, I know if you go back like 10 years into this podcast, I was still like, I don't think I counted some things as rape. I'm just like, is that rape? And like, I learned the spectrum of rape, you know, and then I learned, ooh, I was assaulted. That's why I felt weird. And then all of a sudden, my weird feelings, I stopped trying to manipulate them into, that's fine, that's fine, that's fine. And suddenly I became mad.
Right.
And then I'm trying to stop being mad so like things could be funny again. You know, I don't want to stay in that position because I know there was a time where I was on mic just going like, fuck you, man. Just fuck you already. And then I'm like, well, what's that doing? Right.
Right.
I don't know how to.
Well, it's like, sometimes I think about it like you used to not wear seatbelts.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we weren't wearing seatbelts, we were like, woo. This is great. No, but we don't go back and prosecute people who didn't wear seatbelts. We go, that was not the way it should have been. We now have corrected. We wear seatbelts. You don't get, do you know what I mean? I mean, this is probably, you could be, you know, just a horrible analogy.
No, I get what
I'm
you're
starting to think it might be. But the truth is,
that
we were living in a different state in a different time with different rules,
right.
And I don't think we should go back necessarily and you know,
and we're not, so for men to complain, we're not
right.
You're
right.
Fine,
right
now things changed, and in that I mean the way things make sense,
and there's some collateral damage, and it's like I think guys are like, oh, because I like to make jokes about it a lot. Like, I'll be like, I'll get you for sexual harassment and stuff, like, to people who don't hire me. And then sometimes I'll send out, like, a mass email, like, this guy raped me. But anyway, those are jokes. No, guys get mad about jokes about it, but it's like the rape thing, they had no problem making fun of. And that was the same thing. Like, we had this thing hanging over our heads where there was nothing we could do about it. It would happen to us. And it's like, yes, not all men are out there raping, but they're making jokes about it. It's like, I'm not really falsely accusing men or accurately accusing men of sexual harassment, but
suddenly,
hey,
you can't,
I'm making fun of it. Maybe it's not right, but it's, I call it mirroring. And I think it's a good psychological technique to show men what we went through. Does any of that make sense?
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And I do understand that it was a different time. Like, because I don't want to be a rape apologist, but going back, I do remember like my mom saying, you got to block sex. And then to me, like when I heard people talking to guys, I heard you got to go get sex. And so to me, when they were being aggressive, when they were like touching beyond what is obviously not comfortable, I was like, well, this is how they get sex.
Mm-hmm.
So we were like co-signing with each other because we didn't know better.
Right.
So the fact that we know better now, don't argue that. Just go, oh, fuck, all right. You know? And,
right.
And it's like you said, if you could joke about rape, then I can joke about rape too. It's the same thing in a different light.
Well, it's guys saying like, oh, I'm powerless over this.
And oh, God.
Like, yeah, I know that feeling.
Right. Do they understand what they sound like when they go, what if I'm going to be accused of something? Because I've never
said
that.
Well, I'll tell you, I would be afraid.
Really?
If I was, I've done things as a woman that if I was a guy, I could have, people could, I mean, it's
but then you
because
wouldn't have done
I think
it.
Too, what's that?
But then you wouldn't have done it.
You would have done
well,
it.
Well, no, I did. No, because I think that things get taken, like there's a couple of things.
Then let me say this. Look into these two ladies, because I'm telling you, folks.
I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. Because they're jokes and they're comedy and they're meant for other joke comedy people. And we all had
understanding
of that. These are funny things that we do as comedians. And now that's the part that's like where there's a thumb being put down on you where you're like, oh, now we can't. Like, you're scared to make jokes, you know. Even
no, I'm talking about, cornering two people in a room and taking your dick out. You know that joke.
That's very funny. That's a very funny bit. No, of course. That's the thing. That's what I'm saying. You're saying, yes, I know right from wrong. But not everybody has the same ideas about what is right and wrong as you do. You're not. So when you say, oh, I'm not scared, I think you should be. I think you should look back into your past and see. I'm sure you did something. I'm sure at some point you persisted after a girl said no. I mean, that's one of the things that people are saying. And it's because that's how it worked for people in the past. That's how it happened. So you're saying you have no, you still are saying you have nothing.
Not only am I saying I have nothing, I think men should be forced to say they have nothing into a microphone. And then it will come out.
And then it will come out. No. Yeah, you know I know. I mean? All you have to do is wear a time's up button. And then someone will be like, hey, yeah. Time's up, buddy. Here we go.
I think what I get nervous too about that, and I understand the different levels of things.
But I don't think everybody does understand the different levels of things.
But is that forgiving so many people? Like, hey, look, you're not, you know, it's almost like the racist thing. Like, maybe you're not thinking about how you're racist, and maybe it's almost not even your fault because how you were raised. It's like, okay, but let's also acknowledge there's a giant billboard in Tennessee that says "Make America White Again."
Yes,
I think that people who are living in the new truth and understanding, I don't think they're getting shit. You know what I mean? It's like, are we
getting shit. Chris Hardwick is getting shit. He lived in the new truth and understanding. Aziz Ansari lived
in the new... Wait, time out. Chris Hardwick lived in the new truth?
I mean, he part of the whole, like, you know, movement, the Me Too? He was behind it. You don't think so? You don't think Aziz was on the right side of things in terms of at least what he was saying or tweeting?
I don't know a lot about Aziz's thing.
Aziz was the one where he was on a date and this woman said he put his fingers hooking into our mouth while we're having sex.
It was a bad sexual experience that she's.
But when people read that, you don't think this is the way I remember it, when people read that article, let's say people did complain, but we weren't comparing him to Harvey Weinstein or to Cosby or any of this. I don't think so.
I think some people are. That's the thing. I think some people are saying, we know it's not Harvey Weinstein, but we have to, this is the thing. Do we burn it all to the ground and start fresh? Because I think that might be the answer too. I don't know. Make sure everybody knows what the rules are and then we start over. Or do we show compassion to people who didn't know exactly what they were doing wrong? Because I think some guys just didn't know. You know, there's like an educational aspect to some of this stuff. And so then do we show compassion and empathy and teach them the way?
I think we do show compassion and empathy. I think that the expectation for compassion and empathy sometimes kind of fucks things up. So let's say a guy comes to, holy shit, when I look at my past,
yes,
that's not good. And so he puts out an apology, let's say. Their apologies are shittier. So what happens is they go, I did this and it was a different time. And it's like, you're forgiving yourself. Yes. You know what I mean? You're telling me how to forgive right. you when if you want to burn things to the ground, let's burn it to the ground. But you at least live in the truth. You at least go, fuck, I did that, you know, right. or go like, I don't know.
And there's also different fuck, I did that. There are different levels of that. There's yes. like, you know, and everybody remembers things differently, you know. Also, when you're going back and looking at, and you're true. Drunk, and you know these are like brownout states or whatever. I only knew about red and blue states before. Now there's a brownout.
I like your face. It's like I shouldn't say this. I like that. I enjoy that. In your book, you were talking about you wanted to work for the MTV Movie Awards to write, and you were told, "quote You're too pretty. I can't hire you as a writer. None of the guys would ever get anything done."
The guy fully expected me to be
complimented,
flattered
and
by that.
Right.
Yes, very. He was couldn't believe that I was upset.
Right.
I one time got introduced. So this guy was hosting a show at the Improv in Los Angeles, and there was just happened to be a lot of women on that show. It was a little bit rare. There was three. And it was rare for the time. There was like a girl guest spot and then a girl went up early and then I was going up later. And he had introduced both other girls as very pretty or very hot or whatever. And I went up to the guy and I go, I don't want to be presumptuous.
But you started the pattern.
But I go, can you not introduce me as hot
or ugly?
Just talk about my physical appearance. Yeah. At all. And then he was like, what? Why? Yeah. That's a compliment. And then it's like hard to talk to someone like that because they think you're crazy. Right. They're like, oh my God, I'm giving this fucking woman a compliment. And she's.
Why is she such a bitch?
Why is she such a bitch about this?
So when they say, why didn't you leave? It's like, if I, you know, during like a weird scenario that suddenly got sexual, on that sort of, it's in the same realm as that. Because I know that you are so far beyond the understanding of what's happening now that if I leave, I'm scared of your response. Does yes. that make sense?
Yes.
Like,
uh-huh.
like you understand, I can't explain this to you because you don't even know that what you're doing could be weird for me. I might as well ride it out.
Well, I think it's like a thing like where before we started having this conversation about privilege, people didn't understand that they had privilege. It's the same thing. It's like a guy is not threatened. He's driving the car. So he's not scared when he's driving the car. So he can't imagine. He's like, I'm in control. I know I would never do anything to hurt you. Why can't you know that? It's like, well, I can't know that because I've actually...
But that same guy will ask you why you went to that other guy's hotel when you were attracted to him.
Right.
You know,
right,
that same guy right. is going like, why do you trust men? And so it's like, right. well, I'm sitting here with you, trusting you.
Yes.
And I have to make these decisions constantly.
Yeah.
Like even for work, I've been in hotel rooms with men, and this is for kids' parties, you know? And I'm just like, I never met you before. Let's go. Yeah, because you need, you know, the Power Ranger down in D.C. Let's do it.
Well, because you're damned if you do. Because if you take offense, you're like even me going to the guy like, hey, I don't want to be presumptuous. It's like the guy's probably like, look, I was not going to say you're hot. Like if you right. were, some guy was like, come meet me at my hotel room. And you're like, I'd rather not. Oh, come on. Right. I don't want to fuck you.
Or you go, I have a boyfriend. Didn't ask. Oh, all right. Okay. Which yes. one should I presume?
Yes. Yes.
Because if you rape me, it's going to be like, why didn't you know I wanted to have sex yes. with you? Yes. And if you don't rape me and I don't go, it's like, why do you think I'm a rapist? It's like, because you keep telling me you're all rapists. Yes. You keep saying that. It's men right. who go, why didn't you go
right,
there? My
right,
female
right,
friends
right.
don't really say that to me. They just go, be careful, text me first, like all this right. shit. You guys right. are going, you trust this? And just point
yes.
to your dick. Like, okay.
What are you doing?
Wait, I have a weapon in my pocket at all times, but you're going to come with me to anywhere? All right.
Yeah, you're right. You know, it's because it's the guys that are always telling you that there's no other reason a guy would be talking to you.
Right.
There's no other reason.
It's such a shit, and because I have to keep that in mind all the time. So it's like, well, do I make you a little more attracted to me so that you listen to me if I have right, to go work
right,
with you?
Right.
Do I put lipstick on because I know that you're going to be cooler with me and I know that we're going to have a much better time at work
right.
because you are attracted to me, whether you know that or not? That's the right. decision I have to make before a comedy show.
You should always be attractive.
I mean, look nice. And is it the worst thing to smile?
Let's not burn it all down.
It feels good for you to smile. You hosted, emceed the Rich Voss birthday roast, by the way.
The Rich Voss birthday roast, now available at vossroast.com. If I don't say this stuff, Rich
sure.
will kill me.
That's fair.
You got to go get
or
that
rape
roast.
You. No? Too soon? Too bad? Terrible? That's a
marital
terrible.
Rape is a real thing, okay? And it's serious. And I've got my lawyer. We're dealing with it.
This roast was so funny. You were so fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
We were there live.
That's right. And I was reading, you know, Jeffrey Gurian, right?
Yes.
He's
from the Intero Bang.
I know he was a guest here, and he was explaining his comedy. And he pulled open his vest and pulled out a giant pencil.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. And I'm like, okay, it's a big pencil. So it's that kind of stuff. So
no,
anyway,
but wait, what was the joke of it?
Right. In case somebody asked me for a pencil.
Oh.
Okay, so you get it. So he was...
Aw.
Yeah. What do you think it's going
to
be?
I don't know. Something to do with the lead.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Just like he's...
I got a little wood. Couldn't there be something else to it?
But you don't... Sometimes you don't need more. That's...
She's workshopping it. Hold on.
Yeah.
Is there a number two joke we could make here? Come on. Let's think, guys. Pencils.
Pencils down.
Right. Now, you know, he's the kind of guy that's always waiting for somebody to just go... just let me show you a picture of my pride and joy. It's so penance.
Yes, you know.
But very nice guy. So he
I love Jeffrey Gurry.
Yeah.
He wrote an article about the roast. Some of the lines were so killer, I'll try to repeat a couple. And in some, I'm paraphrasing, as I did not tape the event. Bonnie McFarlane, who served as the roast master, wore a super tight, beautiful white top.
No, wait, are you being serious?
Yeah. But more. There's a point. Which Jim Norton.
Yes, that's right.
There's a point. A super tight, beautiful white top, which Jim Norton commented on, saying,
no.
Great top, Bonnie.
No.
If you have 8 cups, you really want to show them off.
No.
Some things don't translate in typing, I guess.
Well, to be fair, that was an ad lib joke of Jim's, which I was pretty impressed by because he didn't know what I was going to wear. So
right.
I couldn't have written that in advance.
Yeah, he couldn't have gotten your 8 cups ready for a joke, whatever you wore. Right.
Let me ask you this. I happened to be sitting 1 table away from Anthony Cumia.
Okay.
All right. And Anthony, I don't know if it's because he's drinking or just comfortable because he obviously knows all the comics.
He was drinking. Okay. That was true. Yeah.
And he's yelling shit out.
Yes.
Okay. Now, especially Rich Voss, who I haven't seen before in a roast form. I know he's a roaster, but I mean, he was excellent and he's destroying Anthony, and Anthony keeps trying yelling shit back. But I've noticed that you couldn't not acknowledge Anthony in the audience. It'd be ridiculous.
I think there was a light on him even.
There had to be a spotlight later.
I think he came in early and had his crew put one in.
So the jokes end up being him being half a pedophile because he dates people so young, him being a racist because he was fired from Sirius for his racist tweets.
Funny because it's true.
That's what I'm saying. So when all this is happening,
he's having such a good time with it.
And he's laughing.
Ah, that's so mean.
And he's like, you just implied a child was giving me a hand job. I can't help but think, like, what's going on?
You know,
I listened to the Chip Chipperson show, the podcast with Jim Norton.
Uh-huh.
And Anthony's a fairly regular guest. And there's the jokes about him being a racist. And Anthony Cumia just starts, you know, guffawing. And I'm like, but what are they saying about you just now?
I know. He obviously doesn't mind being called a racist or a pedophile. It doesn't bother him. I don't know. I used to think everyone was joking. I gave them so much credit for being.
When I saw the tweets, I remember I was in a hotel somewhere with Catherine at the time, and it made the news. I'm like, well, what could this be? And I was shocked by seeing it. And then you saw people say, well, then on Opie and Anthony, he says this stuff all the time. And I'm like, I promise you he doesn't. Or he does it different and I'm in denial.
Right.
But no, there is a difference between him and this black woman that he confronted in Times Square. And it seemed weird.
He's
to
a
me.
Funny guy. I would laugh at him. I mean,
right.
He, when I would go into ONA in the early days, right before they got fired,
right
before it all went to shit. No, but he was, I thought he was really one of the funniest people I'd ever met.
Agreed.
And I gave him a ton of credit for doing that character.
Like for saying shit that other people don't.
For saying shit.
We give that credit to Howard Stern.
Yeah, it's like you think they're being ironic or putting a light on how... those other people act or something.
Yeah.
And then I think it was like the election was the line in the sand where suddenly you realize Gavin McGinnis, I would laugh so hard at that guy. And then at some point I was like, oh, that's not a character. That's the real guy. What am I doing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Shit.
It's like horrifying. It's like somebody who's playing a bimbo and you're laughing and laughing because you think like this girl is good. She's and then you realize, no, she's dumb as a sack of hammers.
Yeah. And when you can't even, when you're in denial or you can't make up an excuse for somebody, where I'd read these tweets and he's like, I just was taking pictures in Times Square. And it's like, I don't know. Give me something more that has honesty to it. That makes no sense. What, a man can't take a picture in Times Square? I'm like, that's not how you would talk to a friend.
Right.
You wouldn't just say that and expect me to go, okay. And then I see, there was a video of him being in his fight with his girlfriend that the girlfriend was saying was abusive and put online. And then another video she put up that I don't think really got the same attention. But to me, that was more shocking. Oh, you're videotaping this. You're treating me like I'm a nah. Oh, and said the N-word like 5 times, completely serious, completely in a rage. And I'm like, oh, I wish I didn't see that. There's no denying what's going on. And then how do you let it go being in that circle?
I think we used to all the time. The I wish I didn't see that. That's how we felt about pedophiles. But I mean, people.
What?
Yeah, yes.
Who are you hanging out with?
Kids would come out to their parents. This guy touched me.
Oh, sure, I get it. But how do we do it as an adult? Like specifically, how do we do it?
I we don't anymore. There's too much.
Well, that's
of a
the
life.
Thing. Is that yeah. they that it really has the gauntlet's been thrown, and that right. then this is why. It's like you can't do those kind of, you can't be that kind of comedian anymore. Even Howard Stern doesn't do it anymore. Right. He's not,
he still pushes it, but.
Maybe a little, but he's not trying to get that audience. So you're either trying to get, it's like now things are just in such, you're, you know, this way, so left, or you're this way, so right. And then if you make a joke somewhere in the middle about like, being ironic, you can't do sarcastic, ironic jokes really anymore because it's politicized and they'll be like, you're on our side or you're on our side. Right. Or if you push back a little bit on the left, then the right takes your tweet and retweets it right. like you're on their side or vice versa. You're like, ah, I'm just, you like, know what I mean? Like I'm walking down the middle or you can't
you
do.
You ride that line so fucking well. Like you talk about every single thing on stage and you can feel that line of yes. tension and then you drop it. You drop the actual joke part and you can tell it's because you thought of all those things and you thought about what is the reality and why is that funny and why am I bringing it? But you have a pedophile joke that's hilarious.
What is my pedophile
joke? The guy, what is that? The one where the kid is sucking the guy's dick. I don't know. Oh, no. It's not a pedophile joke. It's imagine, sorry. It ends up. Seeming like one.
I'm saying it's weird to breastfeed.
Yes.
And guys don't understand how bizarre it is. But could you imagine if you had to feed your son with your dick? Just
the miming aspect is very, it makes you the edgy comic.
Think about it.
It'd be funny if Bonnie knew the whole time. It's like, no, I don't know. What is it?
What? How do you do it?
How does it go? All right, Bonnie, look, enough's enough. The Twitter and Instagram is at Bonnie McFarlane. All right. Did you know there's a video game called Red Dead Redemption?
Of course I do.
And the female lead is Bonnie McFarlane.
Bonnie McFarlane.
Do you have to play the game to see what's doing?
I've never played the game, okay. But I know about the character.
She's respectable and tough.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think the guy, he's an O&A fan. I mean... He's never said that he made that character after me.
Right.
But
give me a break.
I tell people all the time.
What a coincidence.
that he stole my identity for
I'm
that.
A fan of The Simpsons, but I make a video game with Bart in it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
So weird. He can't even tell you.
Yeah.
Anyway, if you press...
Come on. What's his name even?
The owner of the video game?
The video game designer.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't know?
No. But I don't know. Why would you just...
I don't know. For a second, it seemed like you knew a lot about video games.
Yeah, I did have a lot of information there. The girl's name is Bonnie, too. Well, there must be more. When was it made? By what company?
Oh, I see. You're reading the information off a piece of paper. I thought you'd played the game and thought of me.
No, I have. I actually bought the game recently.
Because of me.
Because of you.
Because of that character, Bonnie McFarlane. Mm-hmm.
And if I press up, up, X, up, up, down, she masturbates.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. You can go to facebook.com.
That's so uncomfortable.
I don't know how to respond to that.
That's whenever I hear it in real life, I start to masturbate. So.
Facebook.com/Bonnie McFarlane, of course.
And don't do Facebook, you fucking idiots.
All right. Done and done.
Perfect. Twitter and Instagram.
That's where it's
at. I got to get my Instagram verified, but I don't know how to do it. Any suggestions?
Yeah.
What?
More pictures in bikinis.
Oh, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Well, then you're not getting a check mark. Rich Voss Roast is available at vossroast.com.
It's literally the funniest roast ever made.
I think that could be true.
Not because of me. Exclude me in that. But the other roasters are...
No, I'm giving you all the credit. Insane. Fuck everybody else.
I did put it together.
Yes, you did. Nice. And you looked lovely.
And I wore my tightest shirt. I said, you know what? I called Jeffrey. I said, Jeffrey, what do you think I should wear?
Here's a giant pencil.
Let me draw it for you. He tried to make me wear a crayon box, but then at the last minute, we switched it up.
No, you did great. And I'm so woke, I'll tell you right now. You looked all right.
Thank you.
Whatever. I could take or leave it.
I wouldn't introduce you with your looks, but it's cool.
You guys see what I see. Ladies and gentlemen, Bonnie McFarlane. Bonnie's going to do record my opening line. Make sure you're subscribed to that. It's very, very fun. MyOpeningLine.com. And we'll talk to you soon.